Grace and peace to you from the God who was and who is to come. Amen. So this celebration of All Saints, I have to admit, ranks high on my list of favorite church festivals. It's right up there, possibly with Easter Vigil and Christmas Eve. I love this day. I love to hear and remember that in the waters of baptism, we have God's promise. We are all called saints, holy ones of God. I love to remember all who have been baptized as we celebrate the reminder of God's promise in their lives. I love to remember, though it is with difficulty, to be reminded and comforted by that promise for those who have gone before us and those we dearly miss. In many ways, I think that that's what this day is all about. I think it's what faith is all about, what the church is all about, what it means, in fact, to be human with finite and broken lives, but to have promises from God of a life that is bigger than life we know here on earth. So usually the scriptures that we hear on a day like All Saints Sunday are filled with promise of baptism, of God's reign coming to earth, of all the saints who have gone before us gathered around the throne of grace. And while the scripture today, the story from 2 Kings, doesn't seem to have any of that at first glance, it does contain this amazing story and amazing image of who the saints of God are and what they do. We have this great story today with three main characters, I think. Most of the time we hear the story, and if you know this story, you remember perhaps Naaman. But I think the challenge for us is to hear in all of these, the characters of this story, on this day especially, who is the saint? It's not the white-robed hosts of heaven gathered around the throne of God in heavenly worship, as is often the case for scriptures that are read on this day. Instead, we have three candidates today. The prophet Elisha, the one who's called by God to do great things, to bring healing and transformation to a person's life. You know, in just the chapter before today's reading, in the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, Elisha actually raises a boy to life with the power of God. And now in this chapter, he continues miraculous works of God by healing Naaman, simply by telling him to wash and be clean. Surely Elisha is the saint in today's story. Or is the saint this servant girl, one who had been taken captive from Israel by the Aramean army, who now serves Naaman's wife? This servant girl is nameless for the whole story, merely a middle person who connects Naaman to Elisha, who connects these important characters of the story. And so she seems so important, and yet she does extraordinary things by noticing Naaman's illness and by being courageous enough to make a connection for him about how her God, the God of Israel, brings healing and restoration. So maybe the saint is this nameless, seemingly unimportant person who brings an outsider to see God's promise and receive healing. Or is the saint Naaman? A successful, powerful person, the commander of the army of Aram. This guy's made quite a name for himself. He's done great things. He's well respected. In fact, he's used to being treated a certain way. He's so used to that when he visits Elisha, he expects to have some grand gesture to heal his illness. Something extraordinary done on his behalf. But when Elisha doesn't even come out to greet him, instead he sends a servant to tell him to simply go down to the Jordan River and wash seven times, Naaman has to learn that God's grace sometimes comes in the most ordinary ways. See, from his perspective, He has much greater, much grander, much more beautiful and clean rivers in his own land. But he learns to trust God and to wait and to see how God will work. And in the end, he confesses his faith in this God, the God of Israel. It turns out that a little water is all you need. Water and God's word. So who is the saint in this story? Is it the great prophet of God who does amazing miracles, signs and wonders that show God's healing presence? Is it this unnamed, ordinary girl who connects others, even outsiders, to God's healing presence? Is it the person of great power and wealth and success who ends up receiving God's healing presence? Not by anything that he's done, but simply by trusting. Who is the saint, the holy person of God? The answer is all of them. And that's the good news of All Saints Sunday, that God works in the lives of all people to make them holy. A saint is not a person who is without sin. A saint is one who is called by God to live out faith in their ordinary lives, wherever God places them. And how does this happen? It doesn't require working a miracle, though there are certainly saints to be revered for doing such things, and we do. It doesn't require status or wealth or earning respect for yourself or making a great name for yourself. Turns out, a little water is all you need. That water and God's word to wash and be made clean. In the waters of baptism, we are made holy, saints. Listen to what Martin Luther wrote almost 500 years ago in his small catechism. He says, "Clearly, the water does not do it. But the word of God, which is with and alongside the water, and faith, which trusts this word of God in the water. For without the word of God, the water is just plain water and not a baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is a grace-filled water of life and a bath of new birth in the Holy Spirit." Friends, we are made saints, not by anything we do, but by what God has already done for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we receive that promise in the waters of baptism with the word of promise. And yet at the same time, it's obvious sometimes, isn't it, that we are far from saints. We're broken. We sin. We don't trust God. And yet God reaches out to each of us in grace through word and promise and makes us holy. Simultaneously, we are fully sinner and fully saint. God shows the extent of holy love that even while we were sinners, dies for us to raise us up, both in life and in death, to be called saints, to be called children of God. And we remember this promise today, which gives us both strength and comfort. Strength to know that we are saints. Each one of us called to live holy lives, even when life may seem anything but holy. Strength to support one another, to comfort one another, and comfort to know that those who have gone before us are the saints who have gathered in heavenly worship with God. Sometimes you might feel a little unsure of this. You might be a little uncertain, but remember our scripture today and remember the promise of God in the waters of baptism that God would work through each and every character and person, whether it be Naaman or an unnamed servant girl or Elisha the prophet or each and every one of us. or each person for whom we've lit a candle for today. Whether the person be influential or unimportant, whether they be carrying an outwardly strong faith, or maybe they know nothing or little to God, whether inside or outside of the circles of faith and the church. If you are here for a person whom we called out at the beginning of this service, for whom we recognized God's light shining in their lives, or if you are here and you will light a candle in a moment for someone who you are remembering and perhaps mourning, someone who's gone before you, it may be that they weren't well known to the world or even beyond your own circle. It may be that they didn't have a strong faith or didn't always act like a saint. But you've learned from them. You've loved them. They've been present in your life. They've been instrumental, sometimes at just the right time, in ways that proved to be transformative and healing to you. They are all saints. And while we mourn their loss, the loss of them, we give thanks to God for shining light through them onto each of us. And we give thanks that God shines that light through us as well. Saints of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.